And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those of you that have had the benefit of visiting the National Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., will have seen many wondrous paintings there and other works of art. But one in particular I bring to your attention today. It's a painting done by a Dutch artist named Jan van Hammesen, entitled The Healing of the Paralytic. It is an interesting painting because it illustrates the life of the paralytic in its almost in its entirety, at least his conversion experience. At the very foreground, basically consuming almost the entirety of the painting, is the healed paralytic, now with strong legs, strong back, carrying what seems like an enormous mattress upon his shoulders because he was told by the Lord Jesus to take up his mat and walk. And this was not a little tiny mat. This was a big mat he had up on his shoulders, this strong, healed man. But if you look off to his left, and of course what he is leaving in his past, very small on the left side of the painting, is the house in which he was where he was healed. And there on a mat is him, the same man who's now in the forefront of the painting. So it's an interesting one because there he lies on the mat and standing over him is our Lord healing him. But just behind them, there are men crowded around a hole in the roof where they have lowered the man down. In a sense, I think he's in the painting three times. The man in the forefront, the healed paralytic who carries the mat on his shoulder, has his eyes firmly closed as he struggles to carry this burden on his shoulder. And I like to think that he is remembering what just happened a moment before. And we are given an illustration in that one little picture of his past and his present. There is a path before him, which is yet untrodden by him, something like his future. That little scene, every once in a while, in our Book of Common Prayer readings for services like today, we get something like that in the Gospel and Epistle readings for the day. Because in the Gospel readings, we hear today something about an interaction between Jesus and St. Peter. And just before that, we've heard from the Epistle of St. Peter. Now, if you reverse these in order and recognize that the gospel experience came first and then the epistle, you'll see something like, in that epistle reading, the healed paralytic carrying an enormous, let's not call it a burden, let's say a memory on his shoulder. With his eyes closed, he's looking back to what had just happened. And what had just happened, in a sense, in our scriptures, as we have these two passages, both relating to St. Peter, it begins with this gospel story where Jesus, who was speaking to the multitude, decided to go out into a fishing boat and to make use of the wonderful acoustics that take place when you speak across the water. And he happens to take Simon Peter's boat and Simon Peter along with him. They go out into the boat. Jesus teaches. What a wonderful thing it would have been to have actually heard Jesus' voice as he taught one day, I'm telling you. But nevertheless, after he's finished preaching, St. Peter is commanded by our Lord to cast out into the deep and to lower down his nets for a draught. St. Peter is a little resistant. And I'd like to point this out each time we come across this passage, that a carpenter is telling a fisherman what to do. Perhaps you have an expertise in your life where you've experienced someone who knows very little about your expertise, who has come into your realm and told you how to do your job. I think we're seeing a little bit of that here with the carpenter telling the fisherman what he ought to do. St. Peter offers the type of resistance that probably you and I might as well. Just to inform you, Lord, we have fished all the night, which in our country is a very ideal time to fish, and we've caught nothing. Now that it's daytime, if you've never been fishing before, day is not the best time to go fishing, Lord. Nevertheless, I am a fisherman, you are a carpenter. Nevertheless, I am a disciple, and you are the Lord. So let's go with this. Let's roll with this for a little while. They go out to fish. They lower down the nets, and of course, what they pull into their boat is more fish than this fisherman had ever caught before. So many that the second boat comes out, and the Hebrews, who are not known for their sailing ships or their techniques on the water, many times they're almost shipwrecked. Here now, just fishermen filling their boats with fish. Both boats are about to sink, and there's a moment. St. Peter realizes, all of a sudden, this isn't about fish. I've been a fisherman my whole life, and it's not about fish, is it? He recognizes suddenly who's in the boat with him. He's been in a boat with the God of the universe incarnate in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And his response is that of every prophet who receives a call, and that is, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Isaiah says the same thing. Moses tries to say the same thing. Jeremiah tries to say something very similar. None of these excuses, as we pointed out a few weeks ago in a similar theme, none of these are accepted by our Lord. But nevertheless, the response of St. Peter is, depart from me. You might even say, at that moment, he was a fearful man. Then we switch over to the epistle for the day, and suddenly we're hearing different words from this same St. Peter, who starts to say things like these, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. We might say to ourselves, just a moment, St. Peter, you are going to say words like this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Do you know anyone, St. Peter, who spoke guile when he was asked if he knew this Jesus who is being condemned and about to be crucified? Yeah, he lied. St. Peter now tells us that you should speak no guile. Let him do good and seek peace and ensue it. You might raise your hand and say, St. Peter, wasn't it you in the Garden of Gethsemane that drew out a sword and struck off the ear? No doubt he missed when he hit that ear of the soldier or the man Malchus. This man who has been violent, who has been proud, who has been speaking more than he should speak, is now telling us to have no guile, to not be violent, to be at peace. And he's telling us that when ye suffer for righteousness' sake, the very thing he was unwilling to do, that you should be happy and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. St. Peter, I think what we're seeing here is like the man, a healed paralytic, carrying the mat over his shoulder with his eyes closed, remembering where he's come from. This is a man, St. Peter, who has been thoroughly, thoroughly converted. This is a man who remembers where he's been. And now he speaks to you that you should not be afraid, neither be troubled, because he knows exactly what it is to be afraid and to be troubled. And what is the last thing that Jesus says to St. Peter as he is calling him from his fishing nets? And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now St. Peter says to those under his cure, fear not. I can say this with authority because I was terrified. And I know that it got me nowhere except for the Lord's rebuke. I can say this from experience. Fear not. and sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In your own experience, I have no doubt that some 16th century, 15th century painter could paint something similar to the healing of the paralytic, or perhaps something like Raphael painted on the front of your bulletins here. This is 15th century. The Dutchman went and studied paintings like this in Italy before going back to the Netherlands and painting his own. Here we have an image of St. Peter attempting to refuse the Lord and command him to depart. No doubt in all of our lives we've had some experience where we can say that the Lord made himself present and known to us. There was a healing, there was a provision, there was a word, there was something that made you recognize that the Lord is with you. But nevertheless, we now carry along with us our experiences in our life, but we also are healed. We are to continue in this Christian life, followers of Christ, recalling what we've been through, and as St. Peter does here, redeeming all of that that has gone, that is in the past for us. And we are not only obeying our Lord's command to fear not, but echoing along with St. Peter as we say to others about their own Christian lives, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. This 4th of July weekend, we talked about our liberties that were won of old, and our colleague for today has a fantastic piece, a fantastic phrase. Grant us, Lord, grace to maintain these liberties in righteousness and peace. We may speak of our nation, but I think today we must speak also of our own spiritual lives. We have been granted liberties like men and women healed as the paralytic. We may close our eyes and remember the day that it happened. Remember the day that the Lord came close. Perhaps even today is the day. May our prayer be to ask God for grace to maintain these liberties in righteousness and peace, and to be his faithful servants now and evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.